Good morning, and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, our assignment from yesterday. Gratitude, tears melting into mountain snow. There's a growing awareness in our modern culture that gratitude is the secret sauce. In practice, we are proving to ourselves moment by moment that what we get is what we give. What we have is what we do. We don't experience anything except our own experience, and we have complete choice about our experience. If you want to be loved, you have to love. If you want to feel appreciated, you have to appreciate. Unfortunately, because conditioned mind uses everything to achieve its ends, we can become complacent in that knowledge. Experience becomes knowledge when run through conditioned mind, and knowledge, being of the past and dead, ceases to inform our present. Today, practice returning gratitude from idea to in-the-moment felt sense experience as you move from thinking about gratitude to the snow-melting tears of being gratitude. Record and listen.
Grateful for that.
Grateful for that. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anne calling from the Bay Area.
Well, hello, Anne.
Hey, that is just a wonderful, wonderful quote, and I am calling because I'm grateful. I have to tell you a little story. I've been really sick for the last 3 weeks, and I've been so plugged into practice, just kind of lying there, participating in my, you know, bed, just listening. And on open air on Tuesday night, two different people called in and happened to mention that they were sick, but that wasn't what they were talking about. They went on to talk about other things. And I'm going to tell you, it was just, I felt so connected and so relieved. It's like, I'm not alone. Just that little thing.
Yeah, and that people are sick and practicing.
Yes.
Right? Not just suffering, but practicing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was looking at it this morning, and I was thinking how it's so important to practice because we never know, take advantage of all the practice opportunities because we never know what's going to hit us, what's going to be the thing that supports us. And, you know, who knew that just these little, quote-unquote, throwaway lines would be so reassuring to me?
Yes, yeah. Yes, the power of Sangha, right? The power of Sangha, the power of practice. In those moments that we're not aware of at all when we're just up walking around doing whatever it is that we're doing, and then we find ourselves in this place where we're not quite as, whatever the word would be, not feeling quite as strong, not feeling quite as supported, right? Potentially much more vulnerable to those voices. And then here's Sangha and here's practice and, oh, I'm not alone. Okay, a little more strength, a little more support for that immune system.
Yes, and then I had this, you know, the other miracle and incredible thing I'm grateful for about practice is it's like every day there's the opportunity to see something I've never seen before. And who would have thought that that's possible? You know, I'm always so surprised, you know?
Through a lifetime.
Yes.
Through a lifetime.
Another thing I'm grateful for, I was on my Reflective Listening Buddy call, which I find so incredibly supportive. And I had just gotten through this period of being sick, and I was talking about something else. Oh, I bought a new computer, and then it stopped working, which was so incredibly frustrating. And on the call, I suddenly realized that this is one of those, oh, my God, the carpet's beige moments, so it might not make any sense. But I suddenly realized I was doing the same process being sick as I was with the computer being broken, which was I'm fine with it up until a point. I can accept this up until a point, and then it crosses a line, and then it's not okay anymore.
Oh, I can't imagine that everybody on this call isn't going, oh, yeah, I know that place.
Well, and what was so liberating about seeing that was that I didn't realize I was holding this belief that my process around being sick was connected to the content and that I had to wait until I was sick again to practice with it. And so to realize, no, this is a process that I do regardless of content, which, of course, duh, that's our whole practice.
That carpet really is beige, isn't it?
But I just thought, because since being sick is such a huge piece of content for me, to realize I have the power to break that down and I don't have to wait until I'm physically compromised to work with it and practice with it. I don't know, Sherry, it was just one of those moments of such grace and gratitude. It's like, wow,
well,
thank you.
That point, Anne, that you just made, what a bamboozle that conditioning mm-hmm. uses against us, right? So if I realize I have a karmic conditioned reaction to anything, whatever it is, to being sick or things breaking or being late or I don't have what I want to eat or I didn't get enough, whatever the heck it is, conditioned mind would say, well, you have to wait until you're in that place to work with it.
Yes.
Which is a pretty solid guarantee that we're never going to get through it, right? So what you're saying is, no, work on it when you're not having that experience. And then it's kind of like, I'm going to help you move, and we're going to do it in 2 weeks. So I really want to get strong so that I'll be ready to help you move in 2 weeks. Well, no, it doesn't work that way, right? I need to be getting strong every day, every day, every day, every day. And then when somebody asks me to help them move, I'm ready. So the same thing.
Yeah.
I practice, 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 practice. And then if I get sick, I'm ready.
Yes, and it's not like any of this is new. It's just that the bamboozle was hidden from me. And so the gratitude I have for all the practice opportunities that allow me to uncover those things I haven't seen yet. I mean, what a gift.
Yep. What a gift. And the subtlety of it, right? Because it's true. I mean, we've both seen everything that we're talking about at one level.
Yeah.
At one level, right? But with practice, we keep seeing it at deeper and deeper, more subtle levels. And the result of that is we get freer and freer, which makes us grateful every day, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. And just one more thing, because I know there's many other people who want to call in. Somebody on the call, I don't remember whether it was Project Joy or Open Air, called in and said, oh, I have to tell you about this bamboozle. And the attitude of mind they had was it was so wonderful. It was rather than, oh, my God, there's something wrong with me, conditioning had me, it's like, isn't this fun? I get to see another way conditioning was fooling me, and I'm seeing through it, and this is great. And I just want to carry that attitude of mind with me of what else can I see about how I'm getting bamboozled?
Yes. It's like a scavenger hunt, right? It's like a big game, the big puzzle. Yeah, and it's really fun to see through it. Again, dynamite support for immune systems, that kind of excitement and enthusiasm.
Yeah, so I just want to say thank you to you and Ashwini and all the Sangha for calling in because you never know what somebody's going to say about their practice that is going to support someone else. And even though I have been silent, I have been so participating and I've just been so appreciative of everybody's participation.
Thank you, Anne. Glad you're feeling better.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Anne. It's such a testament to the quote, the gratitude as experience, right? Because we really go into the process of the place from which that gratitude, it's so interesting that it's not about the content that we practice, but the process. And yet, when we go into the specifics of our gratitude, it gets expressed in that content.
Yes.
As a situation from which we can feel grateful for something.
Yes, which is the argument for doing participating in a lot of different stuff. Isn't that because the more content we encounter, the more opportunities we have to experience the process, which ups our chances of freeing ourselves from the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Well, and that there's a specificity in the expression of our gratitude that makes it real.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Well, and something we were looking at earlier this morning about how that freshness, that the ability to see something every moment of our lives, see something new every moment of our lives, makes us gloriously alive, right? That interest, that enthusiasm, that curiosity, that expression of being alive to the wonder of the moment. And we were looking at about how age, you feel old when you've bought into the story of sameness, when you've done everything.
Yes, yeah. And only ego, right? Only ego wants to be in that place of, oh, yeah, the cliched, been there, done that. Right?
Yes.
That's where ego
yes.
wants to approach every single, oh, yeah, yeah, that, oh, yeah, fresh air, oh, yeah, blue sky, oh, yeah, cloud,
yes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, and to
not
have
to
that attitude
fooled.
Of mind that Anne was pointing us to, which is every moment is a moment to see something new on the practice level and on the physical level, on the environmental level. Everything around us is new, and that curiosity is what we describe as youthful, right?
Yeah, youthful, yes. Yeah, eager and excited. Yeah.
Right. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Aswini. This is Art.
Hey, Art.
Hey, how are you? So I was recording and listening, and when I got to the part I was rereading the quote, and then at the end the practice suggestion, and when I came to the part of tears melting mountain snow, I just got transported into a very youthful, vulnerable place where the only thing that you have is given. Well, the only thing that I had is given to me, without any effort on my part, and it was almost
and no control, right? No power
and
control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and just a like supreme vulnerability and just a gratitude which is everything, just consumed everything.
Because it's complete freedom, isn't it?
It is, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what we're looking at with little kids, until they get to the point of starting to develop that sense of separation, that ego sense of separation, there's just accepting whatever is there. They're not supposed to be in control. They're not supposed to know anything. They're not supposed to have any power. Right? They just, whatever is there and accepting whatever is there and present to it, and there's freedom, so they can, it's true, they will scream if they, want something that they're not getting, or, they're wet or tired or hungry or whatever it is. But the laughter and the joy and the participation is so right there, because there isn't that illusion of another world they should be living in.
That's right. Yeah,
and we can go there with all the, we can go there with all of the intelligence and perception and whatever those things are of a grown up, and still have that innocent freedom of childhood.
Yep. Hey, thank you. I'm sorry it's noisy here. I'll sign off. I'm so grateful. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Art. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
A second childhood, never too late.
Never too late to, what is it? Never too late to have a happy childhood.
Happy.
And,
yes.
And certainly never too late to have a happy second childhood.
Yes, exactly so. All right, here's next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hooray! Hi, this is Kim from Vashon Island calling in. Hello, Ashwini. Hello, Sherry.
Hello, Kim. What are you seeing there?
Well, I love, thank you. I love doing gratitude and living gratitude and I'm very grateful to be on the call because I've been in the queue for a very long time, and I did a little recording and reflective listening process about all of what I saw in the queue. So I'm grateful, actually. And today is perfect because I got on the call, and I was pleasantly sitting patiently appreciating and grateful for all the days in the past that I've been in the queue.
So, because in that process you get to see so much.
Much. And as yeah. much in some, so, of the, some of the things I didn't really want to see, but there it was.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, that I don't know quite how to say this because we're not actually in the queue for life. But there's a way in which we are. That's what people talk about, being in the queue. There's such presence, right? Because maybe right now, well, this isn't really going the way I want, or I would rather it were this way, or whatever. You know, it's just like real life, isn't it?
It's exactly, and it really transfers to so many things, you know, that I'm going through. And one question I have that's been kind of coming up over sort of an overarching on all of the assignments is that I'm getting into something with this notion that conditioning is scary, bad. It's Cato who's always waiting to pounce on us. And there's a part that's feeling like paranoid working with that. And I realize it's a story that I've conjured
yes, it
or
is.
Conditioning. So help
yes,
me.
Yes, it is. Okay, because Cato, why was Cato doing that?
He was helping Clouseau to become
that's
a
right.
better...
that's right.
A better...
To be more
yeah.
present, to be more yeah. awake, to be more aware. Now, I'm not saying conditioning, you know, I'm not saying there's any grand design to make that happen, but that certainly is the role that it plays.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So even who knows the whys and wherefores of it, but that's what happens to us as a result of conditioning.
Okay.
If we use it in that way that we were talking about a little minute ago, the you know the great game, the scavenger hunt, the oh
yes.
boy, there's treasure hidden, and I'm on the trail of that treasure and. Being on the trail of the treasure is the treasure?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
that's
yeah.
really helpful. Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I
so, nothing, it's not bad
yeah.
and scary. There's no reason. But ego would like us to be in that position because then we're going to be afraid of conditioning. We're not going to want to look at it. We're not going to want to see it. We're going to be told that we have to feel bad if we're experiencing it. So it's really not an accidental orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me on that one? Yeah.
I'm completely, and it's so helpful to hear you kind of unravel it this way for me.
Well,
so
I'm glad you put
you.
Cato in there. That makes it really clear.
Thank yeah. you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Ashwini. Take care.
Thanks, Kim. I love that process that you just laid out, right, Sherry, because it's so easy for conditioning to make us believe that conditioning is an enemy that we have to resist or be afraid of or avoid, because that puts us in its world again.
Yeah.
Because that's how it
yeah.
is the world. And so
that's
we're
right.
just becoming it, rather than that place that the Buddha talks about, which is vigilance, that is paying attention and awareness to how things are, which is very, very different from waiting for the shoe to drop or being afraid of a force that makes us go unconscious or suffer. Sherry?
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Sorry. If what you said is super important, because if we try to resist it, we become it.
Yes.
That's why it wants us to resist it.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes. Exactly. I love what you said to me once in precept, which is spiritual practice is one of two choices. It's a divorce from ego or a love affair with life.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And
let's go to the love affair with life. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Ashwini and Sherry. It's Marianne from Vancouver calling.
Marianne.
Hey, Marianne.
Hi, I didn't recognize your voice.
Well, I'm having taking the Huber cure today.
You're in the club with Anne and Laura and some of the other folks, huh, who are experiencing a little of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're taking good care of yourself. What are you seeing?
Well, what I noticed yesterday was I don't really have any stumbling blocks around feeling grateful. I can see that, connect to it so easily. But I did a recording, I set my timer and did recordings through the day. But then one of the last ones, I went, I'm reflecting what I see in that, but what is it that is going on in my body? So I went into my body just to see what the sensations were that are around that, and just noticing the kind of the feeling in my chest and the grin on my face, and went, oh yeah, this is joy. I love it. This is joy I'm feeling. And then it dropped in, this is the wisdom of the heart. And so I had a kind of different experience about, okay, what feeling grateful was like.
Well, and if I'm seeing the dots you're connecting, which are critical ones, and the way you're, at least the way I'm getting what you're saying, I don't think I've ever seen it quite that way. Certainly I've never tried to articulate it. So let me see if this is it. So here we are doing awareness practice, and we know that we're changing. We know from a lot of different experiences that karma conditioning is held in the body. Right? We just know that. And that's why when people start doing a yoga practice, a bunch of stuff is released, mental, emotional, spiritual stuff, not just physical stuff. And with meditation practice, the same thing. We can the body let go in various ways as we let go emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So body and mind are one, right? So as we're going along transforming, then things are going to happen in our bodies. Not just in our minds and emotions and that sort of thing, but in our bodies as well. And so as our bodies are transforming, changing, letting go, reconfiguring, then we're going to have a lot of different things happen in the body. So that idea that we have that if we're practicing correctly, if we're transforming the way we should, then we should just always be healthy. But that's, I don't know why we would ever assume that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, but I'm the person now not connecting the dots because I think you've taken it further than where I was going with it, was just that to, I think what I noticed was it's easy to think gratitude, and what I wanted to know was what that feeling was and where it was.
Uh-huh.
Where it was, and it was in the body, and it was really uh-huh. in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're not stopped from that, because the body is perhaps letting go of some old stuff that it doesn't need to have in it. It doesn't isn't actually a part of it anymore.
Okay. Yes.
And so, what conditioning would want us to believe is, if you were practicing right, you would just be in your heart in gratitude and in your, you know, all of this, and you would never need to do the Huber Cure because it would be a picture of physical health.
Right. So
they don't necessarily go together, do they?
Yeah, so I guess I'm just burning off some karma then.
Yeah. Yes, and it's not stopping you from finding the places in your body where you feel the gratitude, where the gratitude lives.
Yeah.
So who knows? You know, as stuff gets out of the lungs and out of the sinuses and out of the wherever it is, that how do we know that that isn't a part of having more capacity for love and gratitude and kindness and presence?
Oh, you've just changed my whole relationship to being having illness.
Yeah, I like this. I think we're onto something here.
Yeah, I
do.
I think
I don't know if there's a speck of truth in it, but it feels like it's on target, doesn't it?
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I have my recorder beside my bed, and I'm going to notice today. See what goes on.
You will notice and report. I love it. And see if the illness does feel like a letting go, an expelling. You know, things are it's the burning away. Things are leaving that have no place there any longer. And in that way, we really can be grateful for the role that they played, the function they performed, and now that it's time to leave. Leaving.
Excellent. Well, I can say burning up. There's something that is burning up.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you're going to watch and you're going to report, huh?
I will.
All right. Thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks
so
a lot.
Much.
Sherry and Ashwini. That show.
That show.
Thanks, Marianne. Feel better. Oh, isn't that wonderful, Sherry, to be able to develop a different relationship with when we're sick, because one of the things that I've noticed is how sickness is to be avoided, like conditioning, right? And the miracle that the body is performing in healing itself when we feel sick, and we don't appreciate that miracle, that the intelligence
yes.
is repairing itself.
Yes. You know, it reminds me of the, you know, the kind of the oldest, simplest one, and that is a fever, you know, that
yes.
supposedly, I mean, my complete lack of medical knowledge, but supposedly a fever is the body's way of burning up things that shouldn't be there. And in our modern world, fever is seen as a negative and something to be gotten rid of. And maybe that's not such a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose when you hit 105 or 106, then yes, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that those alternative ways of looking at it is to assist the body do what it's doing rather than kill its ability to heal itself, right?
Yeah.
And just to have an appreciation of that and that place where you're pointing to, which is, who knows what else is being healed when the physical is being healed?
Yeah. Yeah. And especially with the folks we've
physical.
Been hearing. Right. With the folks we've been hearing from who really are using this as an opportunity to stay in appreciation and gratitude and presence and take care of the body. We've heard it on so many levels, you know, with the broken arm and the you know, the colds and all of that, to really honor the body and be in an attitude of, what can I do for you? I'm here to serve. What can I do for you?
And
instead of
gratitude,
damn, I'm
feeling
sick again. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. So good.
All right. That brings us to the end of another wonderful show, Sherry. Here's our assignment for the day.
All right.
No one has ever loved anyone the way everyone wants to be loved. Is that true? Certainly, we know what the author is pointing at, and we sense that if that was that were a universal truth, it would be distressing. The implication is that our desire to be loved is doomed, hopeless. No one has ever loved everyone, anyone, the way we want to be loved. Ah, but the Buddha teaches us something very different, something exciting and hopeful. Each of us has one person to save, oneself, and the way that person is saved is through unconditional love. So yes, in the conventional understanding of love, it's pretty unlikely that anyone could be successful in meeting another's definition of love. But in a spiritual, eternal, ending suffering, pure, undisturbed consciousness, slipping into all consciousness understanding of love, oh yes, possible, doable, and with practice, very likely. Today, remember that if you want to be loved, you must become the person who loves. Record and listen.
Glorious. I love it.
Glorious.
Let's do that.
Okay. Take care, everybody. Go happy.
Take care, everybody. Go happy. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry.